now. And before we get into the next one, it's discussion time. This is Table Topics, where we read stories from Reddit having to do with situations in the tabletop world. We will react, discuss, and give our opinions on the chosen topic for you to enjoy and possibly take back to your gaming table. I'm your host, Kaylee, and my guest today is Ashley.
Hi, guys.
Today's topic is vacations. So let's get into it. So, Ashley, midsummer, hot outside.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you really want to be right now?
You know, nice beach somewhere. Sounds fantastic. Italy, anywhere.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, somewhere nice.
Somewhere nice.
How about you?
You know, I did just go to Alaska and I realize I am definitely a mountain woman at heart.
Okay.
But I'm kind of desperate for a beach right now, just to have nothing to do but sit in the sand all day.
Little R&R.
Little R&R.
Maybe a nice fruity drink in your hand.
Certainly. Yeah. Well, this podcast is about gaming and board gaming. And I assume for most people in the hobby, that definitely overlaps with your vacations. What is an example of a time that you've been gaming on a vacation that it was memorable?
Gosh, I feel like almost every family vacation, especially now as adults, there's always games in tow. I know my husband and I, anytime we travel, we bring a big bag of games for us so that we can show our family members new games and play ones that we've been wanting to play with a larger group. So I feel like there's always games in tow, always a part of our packing list. But I guess in the past for me, I always grew up playing different games with my family on vacation, from Sequence to Quiddler. Those were a lot of the big ones that we played as a family. But how about you? Were there any staples along the way?
You know, one that I remember fondly is Pass the Pigs.
I've never played that before.
So it's basically a dice game, except that you don't have dice, you have pigs.
Okay.
And they're just these cute little, like, about nickel sized pigs, and you roll them just like you would dice.
Okay.
So it's a push your luck game, but you're rolling pigs. And so if they're like standing, you score. If they're both upside down, you score. If their nose is on the ground, they score. And then there's one that if it's like caught balance between a nose and an ear, it was called the leaning jowler.
Oh, man.
And I don't know what that means, but it was the best one. And so I remember that. And I remember it being a favorite. And then it was kind of funny because we went back and played it like years later, you know, after I've been married and moved away and I'm not doing vacations with them as often anymore. And it kind of was a bust when we revisited it. And I was like, huh, maybe setting kind of matters. Like, still very cute game, but.
What about now? Do you and Nate have any fun games that you like to bring with you when you travel?
You know, I'm just getting into the lifestyle of carrying a bunch of stuff with me every time.
Touché.
I wasn't there. Like, I remember bringing card games. We always bring a deck of cards to play hand and foot. So, okay. Like, four decks. And then we often bring, you know, this, like, I grew up bringing the small things. Like, Pass the Pigs was a small thing. Different kinds of cards. The Uno type of stuff. Like, that's what I sort of grew up with. So, I'm just now getting into a family and a time in my life where it's like, oh, no, we're actually bringing, like, so many. And
lots of options.
This year, there was a clutch move suggested by Jared to our in-laws that was like, oh, bring the games, but, like, take them out of boxes.
Oh, yeah.
And just transport them in these, like, little reusable Ziplocs. And so I'm fairly sure on our family cruise, we had, like, 25 games to
choose
from.
Holy moly.
Like, there were so many, but they were all, like, packed down into this one little backpack.
That's great. So lots of gameplay on your vacation then.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, it was what Nate's dad wanted to do while he had all his kids together. He wanted to play games.
Why not? Sounds like fun. Mm-hmm.
My favorite that I was introduced to, because we played a lot that I know, like Six Nymphed. We played some Code Names. We played Deer in the Headlights, which is a good one. Favorite that I was introduced to, and I didn't even get to finish the game, was IOTA.
Okay.
And it's this teeny tiny game. Comes in this teeny tiny tin, which is always going to be a sell for me.
Yeah.
But it really tickled that, like, architecture, space planning section of my brain.
Okay.
Because you're trying to lay things. It's a tile laying game. But you're trying to lay things in sets of four that have elements that are either all the same or all different. So they could be different colors, different numbers, or different shapes. And if you match, like, the same colors, like, say I do a one blue triangle with a two blue square, then my next one has to have the same color, but different numbers and different shapes. So I don't know. It was really cool.
That sounds
fun. It scratched that space planning itch for me. So
might I suggest, have you played Cartographers before?
I have not.
That's one of my favorite games and also one of my most favorite ones to travel with, because all you really need is a pen and the notepad that the game comes with, plus some cards. So it's a very, very good travel game.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
So what are some of your other favorites for travel?
Gosh, I think it depends who we're going with. So, like, that one's a good one that my husband and I play with just the two of us. We like to bring Pit when there's a big group, Roll for It. Gull is another good tiny travel one. Kind of depends how limited your packing is. But if we're going on a road trip, we have a full bag full.
Well, you got to, because you have a full room full at home. So
I know. It's a problem.
You've got to transport them. So our stories today are going to deal with crossing over between vacations and board games. And I think you're going to notice a trend of some people thinking that's a good way to spend vacation and some people not, but we'll get into it.
Let's do it.
So our first story comes from r/AITA, and it says, am I the problem for not canceling my guys trip? I, 35 male, and my wife, 31 female, recently began construction on a new home. Thankfully, everything has gone smoothly and we are nearing the completion on the home. Our closing date is set and we are scheduled to get the keys to the brand new house in the next couple of weeks. Unfortunately, I have a scheduled vacation the week of our closing date. This trip of mine is a guys trip that is annual. Every year, the guys and I rent a cabin and spend a Wednesday through Sunday board gaming. Our closing day falls on the Friday of my trip. What I plan to do is drive home to complete the closing and sign all the paperwork. It's only about an hour drive. Then drive back to rejoin the rest of my group. This trip was planned well in advance, before we ever began construction on our home, and has long since been paid for. Here is the issue. My wife wants me to go to my trip on Wednesday and then leave my trip on Friday, canceling the rest of the vacation and not returning to the group. She wants me to be present for the move-in. While I completely understand not wanting to move into a house by yourself, I have already gotten this taken care of. I have arranged for a friend of mine who owns a moving company to complete the moving of our stuff into the new home. I have also arranged for TVs to be hung, mirrors to be hung, curtains to be hung, internet to be installed, etc. All of this is scheduled. My wife is very angry with me that I won't cancel my trip, and I think it is unreasonable for her to ask me to cancel. This is the one opportunity I get every year to get together with my guy friends to do something we love, and it is important to me. I have tried to explain that to her, but she says I am leaving her hanging. Of course it sucks our closing was scheduled in the middle of the trip, but that isn't something I could help. Am I the problem?
Immediately, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
No, no, you can't. You're closing on your house. Also, I want to know, I know we don't know this, but how far away is your trip?
He said it's about an hour.
To expect your spouse, like, is this their first house? Does it say?
No, it doesn't say.
I cannot imagine moving into a house without my husband there to help. I would be very disappointed.
So this is interesting because, of course, I did just move a year ago. And I also know an example from my in-laws where one of my older brother-in-laws, his wife had a work trip get scheduled when they were supposed to move.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother-in-law ends up doing all the moving, which he wasn't into. He did sort of like this guy where he hired people to do it.
Yeah.
But he was doing all of that with their like less than 1 year old baby or right at 1 year old. I don't remember exactly where it fell, but he's got his baby in a Bjorn directing these movers sort of by himself.
Okay.
But he sent like these like cute pictures to the family group chat. It was like, it's going great, you know? And so I have this idea in my head that's like, yes, it's not pleasant, but it's doable. And the fact that this guy has done all this stuff of scheduling the help that she needs, like scheduling somebody to go in and hang pictures, hang televisions. What else did he say? Curtains, install internet, like all that kind of stuff. That to me, first off, king behavior. Whoa. But like that to me speaks volumes for how much he values this trip and values her. He's like, I really need this time, but I also know that you're going to be stressed. So I'm sort of coming at it like, yeah, I think this could work. Like, I understand why she's upset. I understand that it's a moment that you're like, we just built our house. Like, let's move in together. I get that. But I also get where he's coming from.
Yeah, I think for me personally, my husband and I are first-time homeowners. We have now been in our home for a year. And I think that first night in your house, though, is just such a special memory. Like, I look back on us closing on our house and we went and brought our moving truck in. And it's so fun to just get in and bring in all the little things like the toilet paper and the towels and the soap and then start to plan out where you want to put all of your furniture. And just, I mean, that's a group process, group decisions. I think it's a little bit of like unfair to put that whole mental load on the wife. I know that you are hiring help for those things, but at the same time, I just have like such special memories of the first night at your house. You order pizza, you drink champagne, you hang out. Like, it's just such special fun memories for me that I think that that's where I would be disappointed that he's missing out on that aspect of moving in, but also get where you're coming from too. I think it's also situational. Like for me and my husband, we moved to a city where we didn't really necessarily have friends or family there to help us. It was just us doing it by ourselves. So I think it's maybe if they're just moving 5 minutes up the road and they have a lot of friends and family around that can help out and move things in here and there, I see why it's a little bit of a different situation and I'm probably projecting a little bit, but.
No. So I get
it's a
it.
Tough one.
No, I get it. Because like the mental excitement. So part of my other problem with this is, what do you mean you don't have control over the closing date? Tell the construction company it needs to be Monday instead of Friday.
That's true.
Problem solved.
That is very true.
Like, you know, push back a little bit. Like, I know, how long ago was this? It was a year ago, so maybe it was still when the housing market was crazy.
That's true.
But still, asking to change from close of business on Friday to Monday is not too much. Like, that would solve all your problems, first off. Two, I do really get what you're saying about the emotional thing, and that is the part that would get me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we moved from Philadelphia, which is not near either of our families, to Nathan's hometown, which is near, I guess maybe still about half of his family.
Yeah, for sure.
So they were like going to show up to move us in, and we, it was kind of crazy. Don't recommend this. Won't ever do it again. But we bought this house without seeing it.
Uh-huh.
Don't do it.
That was the market. I get it. That was that time.
Wild. Don't do it. But if you have to, it's fine.
We did it too, actually. Our realtor saw it, but we did not.
Okay.
So I'm in the same boat.
Oh my gosh. No, it was crazy. So when we were coming, I think Nathan's family kind of wanted to be here to be like, hi. And I told Nathan, I was like, I need 20 minutes to get here, to walk through it,
to feel
whatever the feelings are going to be.
Totally.
I need a buffer of time.
Like, am I going to like it? Am I not going to like it?
I need that buffer of time to kind of situate myself. So I absolutely get the emotional side of it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just also really trying to value the effort that this guy has put in and how much it means to men, especially, I think, because women in general tend to make friends close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And men have more of this problem of,
that is very true.
They're good friends. If they move away, it's hard to reconnect. Like, you remember your good friends that you had as part of this group. So part of me is trying to go, oh, but if he only sees this group once a year and they get together, like, I want to see this happen for him.
Hear me out, though.
Okay.
An hour away.
Yeah.
Why can you not just miss? So it's a Wednesday through Sunday trip.
It is Wednesday through Sunday.
Why can't you just miss Friday? Just miss the whole day on Friday. Help your wife move into the house. Sleep together in your house for the first night on an air mattress like people usually do. Have those memories and then wake up bright and early Saturday morning and head on out.
No, that's very true. I actually did, after you said, like, staying the first night, I did go, ah, yeah, he needs to stay Friday night at least and come back Saturday.
Yeah, I think that would mitigate my feelings on the situation. I think that would make me feel better if I were in that situation.
No, that's true.
But it is always sad to miss out on a group board game hang, because those are always so much fun. So many memories, especially missing the evenings where, you know, everyone's sitting around the table, hanging out, having a good time, playing games.
Right.
I do feel for that. I guess there's other ways to think about it too, in a sense that they do this yearly. They have this retreat yearly. You only move into a new house a couple times in your life. So
Ideally,
yes.
I've done it. I did the math. I've moved 4 times in 7 years.
Yeah, I'm in a similar position as you too. A lot.
No.
Maybe more than that, honestly.
Not for it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I feel that.
I'll get into some comments.
I'm curious to hear what the people have to say.
Oh, I think they're going to agree with you. And I'm mad that I have to read this name. But this comment comes from I think that's the intent.
That's so funny.
Please write to me, because I'm pretty sure that's the intent of your name.
I love that.
You're focusing on the fact everything will be moved, fitted out, and handled in your absence.
Uh-huh.
Let's pretend that's true, and that nothing will go wrong, and that your wife won't have to make different decisions on the day, and that it won't be stressful.
Something always goes wrong.
You're still missing the fact it's your absence that hurts.
Yep.
That you're sending the message that moving into the house you've built together, getting it set up, and starting to turn it into a home, and spending that time with your wife isn't as important to you as your boys' weekend. A boys' weekend you do every year. Once a year is not that often.
No, I agree.
But anyway, a boys' weekend you do every year. That she'll spend the first night in your new house alone. You're telling her you're not willing to miss part of just one of those boys' weekends to experience this milestone together. You're the problem.
Bravo. That was a much better articulation of what I was trying to say. I 100% agree with everything that was said in that comment.
Yeah. No, that's true.
It's like one of life's milestones. Like you get married, you buy a house, you know?
Yeah, especially if you've built a house, which of course my husband's in construction now. Yeah. So that's what he wants to do.
It's a process.
And you're probably not, I mean, it's a little more final.
Yeah.
You're probably not planning to move on from it in the same time period that you might be moving on from, like we were in a townhouse, you know, something that you've bought and mm-hmm. just kind of, I don't know. If you've contributed to the design process, it seems more permanent.
Yeah, it does. I didn't even think about the fact that something could go wrong, but that is so true. Like, when have you ever had a big life event, like moving, a wedding, a party, something where nothing has gone wrong? Like, everything's gone seamlessly. It doesn't happen very often. There's always going to be something. And that's a very good point.
Yeah, that's true. All right, you guys are... You guys are convincing me. Puzzle headed ad 2322 responds, exactly. Here's the plan, babe. We have dreams, plans, etc. together, but when it comes to execution, you're on your own. So, looking forward to that first baby. Oh, geez, the due date is my annual golf week.
Oh, no.
I'll be back by the time you're home. You won't even miss me.
Oh, no.
Dude. Are you married and building a life with the person you committed to, or are you biding your time between your hangouts with your boys?
Here's my other question that is sparked with all of this is, are his boys people that live in his local vicinity? Because that completely changed, like...
Oh, that...
That makes it even worse.
Now, okay. That would change things because I'm assuming it's like Nathan
Everyone
and his brothers.
Everyone travels in from out of town.
Yeah. I've been assuming it's like Nate and his brother that's in Portland and his brother that's in Maryland.
Away.
If they're all within 2 hours of each other, yeah, scratch everything I've said. This is stupid.
Yeah, that makes it even worse.
Oh, gosh. No, we don't know.
Are there any updates from OP?
Oh, there is. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Okay. I will post an update in the comments here so I don't have to get an update post approved. I spoke with my wife about some of the things you all mentioned here. Her main concern is moving into the new home alone and being overwhelmed with the amount of work that will need to be done. It is important to note that this isn't our first home, nor is it our first build. Okay. We have gone through all of this before and all of the packing and organizing has already taken place. She's also concerned should any warranty issues arise, mm-hmm. i.e. leaks or something along those lines. My wife is a very independent woman and isn't worried about staying in the home alone. I asked if it was about me prioritizing her and being present for the move. She stated she wanted our home to be a priority to me, which of course I understand, and it is. Those of you stating our marriage is over and are doom and gloom, I understand with limited context and the barrier of the internet why this might be your initial reaction. But my wife and I have a very strong marriage and I adore this woman more than anything. She's the most perfect human on the planet and we do just about everything together. Typically, we communicate very well, but I admit I wasn't seeing some of the things you all mentioned here because I was man mad. I haven't heard that before, but he put it in quotes, man mad. About not getting my way, and I posted out of frustration. But I did gain some valuable insight, so kudos and thank you. I'm gonna remember that term.
Man,
I don't know about that. After our conversation and listening to my wife and reading some of the posts here, we have decided that I will come home on Friday to assist with the move and organizing following our closing. I will be present for anything and everything needed during the move. Then after everything is moved in, she's fine with me going back to my trip unless there are other things that need to be done or that we don't get finished that day. In which case, I will cancel the remainder of my trip so I can be present to help with anything unforeseen that might pop up.
Yes.
We both think this is a reasonable compromise. I double asked what she needed from me and what her expectations were, and this was her solution. All is right in the world again, so we can all sleep soundly tonight.
Yay. Yeah, that just made me happy because that does go back to your original point. And it does sound like he had great intent in organizing all this stuff up front from the beginning. So that makes me feel like he is genuinely a good guy and has taken the time to actually communicate these things with her and come to a place of compromise. I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, it seems like she confirmed that it was the fact that she felt like she wasn't a priority that was the problem. So they've worked it out.
Love that. That was a good little closing update.
Little happy ending there.
Yeah.
Well, he was definitely voted the problem. I don't know if that update was taken into account. It probably came after.
Oh my goodness. Sounds like people are a little hard on him. Cynical.
Yeah, the one about like
doom and gloom.
The baby is born during golf week is probably a little different, especially if they have built a house before.
Yeah.
Chill.
The warranty thing is so valid, though. If there's a leak or something.
Yeah, when I was moving, we sort of split it where I was in charge of Philly.
Uh-huh.
And Nate was in charge of what we were moving to.
That's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
No, it was fine. It was fine for the situation we were in and the timetable we wanted. Wouldn't do it again.
Fair.
But we had like the Philadelphia house perfect. We got it, you know, staged amazingly because I have all this antique vintage stuff. And the realtor was like, that's what we're going to leave here. And it's all going to be like this vintage thing that leads into, you know, when the house was kind of built and some of this stuff. And we had it perfect and we left for the first weekend that we were moving here. And the water heater went out like the next day.
Oh no.
So right when all the people are walking through and looking at it, of course they're opening like the closet to look at the water heater because it's important. And they're all like, huh, there's water on the ground.
Oh no.
So I was like, are you kidding me?
The worst timing.
You couldn't hold on for like two more months.
No.
Water heater. But anyway, so we replaced it when it got under contract. But yeah, there's stuff
something
like that
goes
that happens.
Wrong.
There's
yeah.
stuff that happens. So
that's so crazy. Overall, though, it seems like a good resolution, a good happy ending for Opie.
So this next one's a little bit different because it's going to go back to something I actually talked about in the invitation episode with my sister, which is how traditions need to change when you move from different life status bubbles.
Totally.
So this comes from r/advice from Front Isopod 8642. How do we get out of this? Childless couple versus friends with kids. We've been going on holidays with our close friends for many years every year. A couple of years ago, they had a son, and recently they had a daughter. Initially, it wasn't a problem for us, and we continued traveling with them. However, when the boy was 4 or 5, the trips became awful. Basically, it's just us trying to survive without hurting anyone's feelings. The kids are extremely misbehaved, loud, and the parents don't even try to control them in any way. If they wake up at 6 a.m. and start screaming, we have to get up too. Their mother herself doesn't even try to be quiet from the moment they wake up. We lie in bed listening to kids screaming and their mom loudly telling them to get up, go to the bathroom, get dressed. When we get up, there's just more running and screaming. The older boy is a nightmare. I regret to say this about a child, but I absolutely hate the kid. He is malicious, attention-seeking, gets physically aggressive. He once hit my husband with an open hand because he was angry and threw a pencil in my face when I told him to stop screaming. It actually hurt. His parents? He suffered absolutely no consequences for physically attacking us. It is absolutely impossible to play a game or just sit and talk in peace and quiet because he's constantly sitting up with us, nagging us, wants us to include him in every activity. God forbid we pull out cards or a board game. We simply cannot, without him breathing down our necks, grabbing our things, dropping them on the floor. His parents do not react. Heck, his parents will go have a nap and leave him with us, free babysitters. We cannot play, cannot switch on the TV. Last year, I mostly spent the final days of the trip in our room, refusing to leave. What for? In addition, these trips are pointless for us as a group. We don't do things together anymore. All their time is just activities for children. They want to see different places, eat different things, and do different things. Even when we decide to have a barbecue, they never sit down at the table with us at this point. They'll just eat their food whenever they want, and we just prepare stuff for ourselves and eat it at a different time. What kind of group trip is this? My husband says we cannot just tell them it doesn't work for us anymore because we don't want to lose our closest friends. On the other hand, he says we cannot ever tell them if we decide to spend the next holidays with another group of friends because it'll trigger a conflict. They won't understand. How can we get out of this situation? I do not want to lose friends either, but at this point, I just feel terrorized.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts here because I very much resonate with this. I have a lot of friends that have kids and my husband and I don't. So there's a lot of this that I can resonate with. And we actually just went on a trip not too long ago, about a month ago, with some friends that we haven't seen in a while. And we originally planned the trip and it was only going to be adults going. And then some stuff happened and then there were three toddlers and babies. So it was a very different trip. But I think when you go into a vacation or a trip with friends that have kids, like, you know what you're getting yourself into. So I think you just kind of have to look at it from a different mindset. It sounds like OP is very upset that they're not able to do the trip in the manner that she wants to, but she or he, was it a did they say gender at all?
They don't say, but they refer to a husband. So I guess we could assume it's more likely female.
So for them, it's almost like they're upset that they're not getting to experience a trip that they want to experience because of life's changes. And I think you just have to look at it from a different perspective of things are going to be different when you have kids. Kids are a little bit unpredictable. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of empathy there when it comes to scheduling with kids. Kids need nap time. They need certain bedtimes. They need certain routines. And then there's also the added factor of different parenting styles and stuff like that that you have to navigate as well, because it sounds like if OP were to have kids, they wouldn't choose to parent their kids the same way that their friends do. So it seems like there's a little bit of like judgment there as well.
I think so, but judgment in this situation could also be very warranted.
Totally, totally.
Because we had good friends in Philly that ended up moving a little bit away, and they were friends that we got together and gamed with and whatnot. And when they moved away, you know, they were getting a bigger house because they wanted mm-hmm. to start growing their family. And obviously, when you hang out with someone who's started a family, the expectations are different.
Yeah.
You know they're going to be different. You know you're not going to be up till 2 a.m.
Of course.
Because everybody's going to be tired. And yeah. Kids wake up early, and you know, you understand that. You understand that there's going to be a baby crying at some point, mm-hmm. at multiple points during the day. But these friends handled it so well that Nathan and I were not bothered by whatever might have felt sacrificed. I don't even think it did. Like, I've fully had a great time. Like, they were working around nap time schedules and bedtime schedules and that kind of thing. And I don't know, we're still all sitting down to dinner together and mm-hmm. they're having to worry about feeding the baby, but we're sitting and talking. We're having if these friends are going so far that they're not having dinner with you or giving you any kind of moments, that's a problem, and it's on them, and it has nothing to do with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lack of will to make it work.
But I do think it comes down to parenting styles, because some people are just very much free range, let their kids do whatever. And that's, I feel like, what's going on in this story. Whereas there are people who choose to parent differently, and their kids maybe know that they need to sit down for a meal and know that they need to be quiet when other people are sleeping and know those things. I don't know. I don't need to go on about parenting styles, but I think that in general, when it comes to life, and especially as you get older and you realize that you only have opportunity to go on so many vacations in your life, you maybe realize, and it sounds like Opie's starting to realize, that maybe there are certain people that you go on vacation with and certain people that you just spend time with. So maybe in general, because Obi's friends have kids, it might be a better situation where instead of planning a vacation around spending time together, maybe it's just better that OP goes and visits their friend in their space and spends X amount of time there so that they can have that time solely focused on getting to catch up with one another, spend time with one another, and maybe even OP can get to know their friend's kids and enjoy that time a little bit better, doing fun things and activities with them instead of a vacation where maybe you have plans to do other things. You have plans to try different restaurants. You have plans to go to different bars and go do things that maybe someone with kids can't do. So I think there's a little bit of give and take there.
As I'm definitely hitting the age where a lot of the people that I'm friends with do have children, multiple children, maybe. Mm-hmm. It does totally change the game to be on their turf.
Of course.
Versus your turf or like neutral turf.
Yeah.
If I go visit friends with kids and they can put their kids to bed at 8:30 because yeah. they're in their own house, or they can say, go watch a movie after dinner or whatever, that's worked so much better.
Totally.
So there is some amount of sacrifice to say, okay, people are not going to come to my house as much anymore because it's easier for them, you know, to carry this. And vacations with kids are hard. Like,
yeah,
I've seen Jared and Anna pack their van for a vacation and it is full.
I believe it.
Yeah. It is all the regular suitcases and then 4 suitcases of toys and then 2 suitcases of gear and just bags of snacks and everything. And maybe it's a little too difficult to still be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if these friends are not respecting you enough to make time for you,
yeah,
which is the baseline of friendship, I'm not sure that it is worth it. I totally understand why you feel that way. And these, you know, the husband saying, we can't just say it doesn't work because we don't want to lose our closest friends, but then also we'd have to keep it a secret if we start holidaying, which this is probably from a British person. So holidaying is vacationing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Vacationing with a different group. We can't ever tell them.
Yeah, that's a little...
Sounds like he's just trying to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
Which is not going to help you. Like, are you just going to say, okay, the rest of my holidays for the next 18 years are going to be this way? Like, really? You're not going to risk the one little bit of conflict to make a change there?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I just feel like in life, and my husband and I have realized this a lot with where we are in our life right now, with a lot of our friends having kids and stuff like that, especially when it comes to doing stuff like on nights or on the weekends, like life is a lot different when you have a kid. You have to plan around sports events and practices and bedtimes and nap times and meal times and snack times, and you have so many different priorities. And I have a lot of like, I totally get that. But it's also when you're in your dink era and you just want to like up and go to a bar one night or up and go to dinner one night, you have to realize that your friends with kids don't have that same flexibility or ability to do that because they have different priorities. So I think it's very similar in this vacation situation. They just have different stuff going on. So maybe it's okay to say, hey, maybe we're in a little bit of a different spot in our life right now, and maybe we want to go vacation with people who don't have kids, or maybe one day they'll have kids and they'll have a little bit more empathy or relate a little bit more to the situation that their friends are into.
I don't even know that it's a lack of empathy.
It's not. It's just a difference of
but it would be, you could sync up better.
Totally.
You can say, okay, now we're both getting up early in the morning and then we're doing this. And then, you know, then when it's snack time, we're working together to organize snack time.
Of course.
But even then, if these friends are like, oh, great, then you do all of that.
That's not okay.
Then that's not going to work. No.
No, I totally
and
get
it. And a kid that is violent with you.
That's not okay.
Needs to be reprimanded. We're mm-hmm. not throwing pencils at anybody's face. Nathan had an incident a while back where a kid kept ramming him in the stomach.
Oh.
And Nathan and I are both, like, we have not comfortably settled into, like, auntie, uncle status with anybody's kids. Like, not just my actual nieces, but anybody's, we're not there. Because I remember my mom growing up, like, if I had a friend at my house that needed punishment, my mom would do it.
Lay the hammer down.
She was there. We were both in timeout. And I'm not there in my psyche. Like, I'm not there. And Nathan's not there. And so this child was ramming him in the stomach. And Nathan said, okay, we're done now. We're going to stop that.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop. And so Nathan said one more time, like, okay, we're done. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And they, again, sort of didn't listen. So Nathan was like, cool, we're leaving.
Yeah.
Like, removed himself from the situation. Don't let your kids be violent. It does not, like, that's not that big of a deal, but.
No, just in general, though.
Throwing a pencil is a bigger deal.
Totally.
Hitting with an open hand is a bigger deal. Like,
yeah,
you don't want to encourage that.
No, and how this relates to board games, too, it's just like, maybe you just bring some games that, if you do choose to continue to vacation with them, just bring some games that the two of you can play while they are doing said things, like putting kids to bed and stuff like that. But it sounds like maybe you just need a new vacation solution. What you're doing right now is not working out.
Yeah. One of the games that I love that's good for all ages is called Fun Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like a Spoons situation with these animals where if they're, I think it's dice. Oh gosh, it's been too long since I've played it. But I think it's like if an animal's rolled, you have to grab it. And they're like the squishy little animals. Bring some games like that.
Yeah.
That can be played with different ages. And then let them have things that they can take away and play with. And then you whip out your thing with
after
the
bedtime.
Cool minis
or
something distracting after bedtime.
Totally.
It's complicated. You can't put like minis from Ark Nova or the like angels from Deliverance or something in front of a small child. They're going to want to touch it.
Yeah.
They're going to want to take it off the board. But if you have a time that's generationally safe, then maybe you can have a more private time.
I love that approach. We're definitely learning that with our niece and nephews, is that there's so many fun kids, like they're kids games, but they're still also fun too. There's some fun cooperative games, there's things like that. So there's definitely opportunity to have the kids potentially be involved in, maybe it might keep them occupied and keep them doing things that aren't throwing pencils at your face. But
please.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember going to a brother-in-law's wedding, and I genuinely have this many in-laws. I genuinely am married to someone who is one of eight. So I have this many different in-laws. But I remember going to a brother-in-law's wedding, and Anna and Jared's kids were playing different games by themselves, occasionally with aunts, uncles, friends, whoever. But they played one called like Zoo Escape or something.
Okay.
Zoo Break.
That sounds fun.
It was a genuinely fun game.
Yeah, totally.
It was a genuinely good game. Where you're, it's worker placement. It's worker
Love
placement
it.
And containment and all this different stuff. And it was very fun. They do the kids' table episodes on the game table.
Yeah.
To cover kids' games. But I think it's about respect.
It
this
totally
is clearly
is.
A respect
you're right.
problem.
Yeah. There's something going on there where there's just a difference of opinions on what's happening.
This last one's going to have to do with Dungeons and Dragons, which I believe you've played twice now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can speak to that, especially with the extent that it's going to show up in this story. This also comes from r/AITA from Moonlight 5544. Am I the problem for not letting my boyfriend play a video game during our trip together? And I'll clarify, it's not really a video game, it's just a remote game. I live in Canada, and my boyfriend lives in Germany, which makes it quite hard for us to see each other often. I'm 18, and he is 19. Currently, we are in Canada together on a two-week trip, Toronto to Ottawa to Montreal. He has a long-time commitment of playing Dungeons & Dragons online with his friends every Saturday, for which sessions can usually be very long. Today, I let him play during our train ride to Ottawa, but the session ended up taking much longer than planned, and I ended up going for a walk by myself after we reached our Airbnb while he continued to play. We then went out to dinner, and he paused playing and told his friends he would be back in 30 minutes, but we ended up taking much longer as our plans changed, and he apologized to them for that. I thought that would be the last I'd hear of it, but no. I told him that tomorrow we could finally sleep in, to which he replied, "No, we have to do something before noon." I asked why, and he said it's because he has to play tomorrow afternoon. I asked how long he has to play. He said 5 hours, and I was absolutely astounded. I told him that this is our trip together and that I barely get to see him and want to spend some time together. He told me that it's rude to just cancel on his friends and put their game on pause for the 2 weeks of our trip. They can't play without him, but of course, no one is forcing him to. And said that it's not fair to him that I can't let him play at least a couple sessions. That being said, am I the problem for really not wanting to allow or deal with this? And there's a couple edits. The first edit just says, "I'm not the controlling type, so by allow, I don't mean that I tell him that he absolutely can't do it. I'll let him do what he wants. I just don't want to allow it."
That was going to be one of my first comments. Is allow is an interesting word.
I'm betting that's going to be down in the comments. Like, probably allow him.
Probably.
Edit two. I know that D&D definitely isn't a video game, though I wasn't sure what else to call it in the title. A role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer.
I have a little bit of mixed feelings here. So Canada and Germany is very far away from one another, and they're on a two-week trip. I think I wonder how often they're getting to see each other, because them being so far away from one another, it's like if you're only seeing each other once every couple of months, once every 6 months, once a year. I mean, I don't know what their situation is, but Derek and I actually started out our relationship as in a long distance relationship after a month of getting to know each other. So I know that those times that you actually can spend in the same location are special. You have special memories from those times. Those are the times that you can actually connect in person because you're not able to do it over the phone. So I think personally, I would be a little bit hurt in this scenario as well if there was a game happening multiple days for multiple hours in our very small amount of time that we get to actually spend in person. I wouldn't feel very prioritized. But I also understand D&D is a regularly scheduled thing, and if she knew that he had this going into the vacation, there could maybe be a little bit of understanding on that side of things. But I also think it's up to the boyfriend in the situation to maybe set a little bit more boundaries with his D&D group on time allotment and expectations and when he can be present, because there are priorities there that need to be made in that situation.
As someone who's played a couple of long-running D&D sessions, or her not knowing what to call it has spread to me. Long-running campaigns. You absolutely can take 2 weeks off. That's fine.
Yeah.
Hush.
Oh, yeah. We've had
kind of my opinion.
We've had people fall off of cliffs temporarily or be drink too much mead temporarily. There's things that can happen.
There you go. Yeah, you can work it into the story. You can let the DM know. There was a time recently that I was looking to join some online games through r/LFG, actually. I was chosen as kind of like an alternate for one of the games. And I told the guy, I was like, by the way, I know this is weekly. I would love to do that, but I do have this vacation coming up.
For sure.
So I would miss at least one Saturday, if not two, back to back. And the DM was like, okay, well, if you're in, that's no problem.
Yeah.
Like, we'll take care of that. So if you're communicative, if your DM knows, you can work with that. You can make something happen. You can go do a side quest or get stuck in a tunnel or,
of course,
you know, whatever.
Of course.
So it's a little kind of silly. No, it's just a little silly. And I get that it's something he enjoys. And I get that she was being a very good sport letting him play on the train.
Yeah.
But if you're on vacation or if you're on a trip with someone who's a long distance relationship, you do not say, oh, I need to go for dinner for 30 minutes and then I'll be back. No. Sorry, dinner is probably your most significant like meal out with your partner. So this is just very 19-year-old behavior.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that added element that
they're 18 and 19. That's the added element here. So I think in this case, he should have taken that train ride as a gift. And then as soon as you arrive, you're like, okay, well, sorry, I've got to go.
Yeah.
I know D&D is, it's great to have long sessions. And not everybody. I actually introduced my mom to it just last weekend.
That's so fun.
And I asked her, you know, how she felt afterwards. And she was like, oh, I liked it, but that was so long.
It does take a while. It does.
She's like, I don't know that I could devote like half a day to this.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, fair. But I love that. I want to do it that way.
Yeah, of course.
If I have a 2-hour session, I'm like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But that's me. So not everyone, but you got to make your boys, your team, whoever, understand that you have to step away. And that's okay.
Yeah. A couple of things are based off of what you just said. Maybe it's something that in the future, if y'all stay together and continue to have long distance relationships, maybe that's a way that she can spend more time with you. Maybe y'all can do that long distance and she can play.
He plays remote. Yeah.
She can play with you. Or she can be a temporary character every now and again or something like that. There's things and other compromises that can be made in this situation. I also can relate a little bit in the sense of, I know that there's definitely been situations where in work life, which I know works a little bit different than playing D&D, but sometimes it's hard when you're a people pleaser to set those boundaries with time in your life and prioritizing yourself and the things that you have going on too. So I can definitely relate a little bit with like doing things a little bit longer than you would like to please the other people around you in your life. So I know I've definitely been guilty of those situations where I've been on a trip with Derek or something like that, and I've had something pop up with work and I just feel obligated that I need to go do it right away. And I'm like, oh, it's only going to take 5 minutes. And then next thing you know, it's 30 minutes later and he's waiting to go to dinner. And I'm just like, oh no. So I've been there. Stuff happens, but it definitely seems like maybe he needs to think about what his priorities are a little bit and kind of figure that out.
And I think it's interesting too, like with the husband in the last story that kind of didn't want conflict, and now with this boyfriend. Some of these things that we internalize, like, oh, I can't tell them, I can't drop out. You'd actually be surprised, I think, you know, because you might say, oh, I'm not actually going to be available these weeks. And another person actually jumps on that because they're like, oh, I would love my Saturday to take my girlfriend out or to take my child to the zoo or whatever. I don't, what do 19-year-olds do to go play intramural soccer?
Yeah. Reschedule.
Yeah. And they would be fine with that.
Totally.
You know, especially if it's happening over a summer kind of time frame.
Everyone's busy.
But, you know, yeah, like you said with work, like there's definitely been situations in lots of our trips where one of us has had to do something.
Yeah.
But there's always a boundary. we're not even bad about taking too much time to communicate with other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely like to update my parents, and his family has a group chat that I update every now and again. But you can't, when it's that special time with your partner, and especially if you've paid to be somewhere special or foreign, whatever that means to you, you have to respect that.
Totally. Sometimes when you're young, the age thing keeps popping into my head. I know when you're younger, it is hard to set those boundaries and hard to have that life experience to know those things too, know what's important in those situations. But overall, in general, a lot of these topics today, I think it's just like a lot of them have been about like real life, serious things going on, like moving into a house or just knowing who you should take vacations with. Like, we haven't really talked a ton about like the actual playing of games on these.
That's true.
Stories, but I think it just all kind of makes me like playing games is supposed to be fun. And when it's getting to be like this, where it's just like causes tension or causes someone to be hurt or someone to be unhappy or there to be issues amongst friends, it's just like, this is supposed to be fun. Like, it's tough.
I'm not going to say there's never someone in a friend group that isn't psyched about playing games.
Oh, so true.
But if they're this minority, they're going to sit through, you know, whatever you want to do. And if everyone else enjoys it, make it happen, like incorporate it as part of your time.
Yeah, totally.
But then be respectful in the other times. And she didn't clarify. Like, it's almost sounding like it's back-to-back days, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. It's worded a little bit vaguely. But if it's back-to-back days where he's like, oh, I did this all day Saturday and I need to do it tomorrow. No.
Especially because it's on the weekends, because when you're traveling, the weekends are the times where you get to do fun stuff too. So that's a tough one.
So edit number 3. Thank you everyone for your replies. I ended up talking to him about it and he told his group that he won't be playing for the rest of our trip. He did, however, admit to me that he would never have chosen to not play on his own.
Ooh. 19.
19. Okay, sir. 19. Okay, these are some funny comments. Deleted user says, not the problem. While I get D&D is incredibly fun, you two are on vacation together, and you both don't see each other much as is. I would understand if it was a short session, but 5 hours is too much. Reply from Inward Outbound says, I dated a D&D girl for a while. Short sessions don't exist.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends what kind of group you're a part of. The one that we do, we meet monthly and it's supposed to be at about an hour. Sometimes it's closer to 2, but you could do it in a smaller amount of time.
Yeah, basically the comments agree with us.
Maybe it's time to prioritize a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Some people are really trashing D&D.
Oh, man.
It's rude and disrespectful to place a weekly leisure activity that isn't critical. What are they going to do? Make up some stuff about goblins kidnapping him?
I mean,
like, all right.
Maybe.
Okay, calm down. Well,
vacations. We need a vacation now.
Yeah, maybe. Choose who we go with very carefully. Set boundaries. Oh, communicate.
Man. All the lessons learned today.
Nobody move house.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, I guess we didn't get into the meat of games quite as much, but we do that in some other stories. So
no, lots of, I mean, they all revolved around the idea of game night, playing games with friends and family. So it all is that central point.
Good. Well, any closing thoughts for how to properly game on vacations?
Oh, man. Bring games that everyone can play. Be aware that everyone has their own way of vacationing and might want to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
And just have fun.
definitely have quick games available.
So true.
And now there's a big movement for like portable games, which are also very good. Like I bought my parents Barbie cubes.
I saw that the other day. That's
all
fun.
Goes in the little tin and they can take that out. And then I've been seeing people play like the tile game Seaside, literally on the beach. I'm so thinking about it. Different things like that. So I think that's also a good draw.
Yeah.
For vacation games.
And on your phase in life, bring games that everyone can play, even kids too.
Well, those are our stories on today's table topic. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Tell us about it. Maybe you have a story of your own you want to share. We'd love to bring it to the table. Check out our links in the show notes. Good luck on your next game, and we'll catch you again here on Table Topics.